And that is the title of the message, steadfastly. Steadfastly. It's one of my favorite words, steadfast. It is to be devout. It is to be resolute. It is to stand, and it is to be faithful to our God. And that's what I want to talk to you about as we gather around the Lord's table and receive His supper communion today. And if you will take your Bibles and turn with me to the second chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Once again, welcome to all online and everyone in the room. We are so glad that you have joined us. Today, I want to take a look with you, the family of God, the people of Prestonwood, and our friends, as to what kind of church God wants Prestonwood to be. I want us to think about who we are and what we are about. God has called our church and every church to be a New Testament church. That is, a church built upon Jesus Christ and established in the Scriptures as His church. He said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And we know that one day, according to the Scriptures, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Michael Neal wrote that song, our lead worship pastor, and I've told him before, God made you to make that song, to write that song, the name of our God, Jesus. A New Testament church is gathered, whether in fields or in great buildings and sanctuaries like this one, small chapels, wherever God's people gather in His name, connected in community, in faith and fellowship together, this is the church. And when we are together in the name of Jesus, something very special happens. Now, you can call that old school. I call it New Testament Christianity. Amen. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 2. Do you sense... Do you believe that God is giving us a new opportunity in these days for a brighter day before the darkest of days fall upon the world? I do. I believe God is giving us one last opportunity as the church in this generation. And we need to rise and to be resolute to stand fast and to stand strongly in the face of all opposition, resolutely to the call of God to go and make disciples. People have tried everything. We've tried politics and politicians. How's that working out? We've tried all forms of government. People have tried pleasure and profit, making money. But it's not working because God made us for Himself. It's not satisfying. People are disappointed and heartbroken. Broken. We've seen this. The pandemic has exposed the fears of death and the fears of disease and the anxieties and the deep unhappiness that is in so many people today. That's why I'm saying that this is our opportunity now, like never before in my lifetime, to rise up, to be resolute, to be steadfast in the calling of Christ upon our lives, His church. To be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And what we see in the second chapter of Acts is New Testament Christianity, the church as God planned it and purposed it. In the New Testament church, the book of Acts, specifically, we see a model for our mission and our ministry of the church. And I'm going to point out three priorities, three major purposes of the church. And I would encourage you to write these down, whether you're at home, watching somewhere with us, or right here in this room. I always encourage you to open your Bibles and to take some notes. And here's our text, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They continued steadfastly. They continued in the Lord. In what sense? Well, number one, the purpose, the priority, the passion of the church and this church is to exalt Jesus. We just did that. Because God rises upon the praises of his people. Whether it is music, ministry, the message itself. God has called us to bring a plain, outspoken, unapologetic, unashamed message of Jesus Christ to the world. Now, lest you think that is a given, you here at Prestonwood, perhaps, I hope you know that, but the fact is that churches or buildings and people who call themselves churches around the nation, around the world, are not preaching Jesus Christ. I don't know what they're preaching, but you can go to churches everywhere and never hear his name even mentioned in the music, in the message, in the preaching. You say, well, are you being critical? Yes, I am. Because what right does a church have to exist apart from Jesus Christ? He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is his church. It belongs to him because we belong to him. The one whose name is above every name. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. We have no other message. We have no other Savior. There's no other road. There are roads that lead to Jesus, but Jesus is the only one who can take you into the presence of the Father. And we unapologetically proclaim the exclusivity of the gospel, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived, who died, who rose again, who ascended, and who is coming again in great victory one day and one day soon. This is a Jesus church. It's all about him. And if it's not about him, it's about nothing. Peter preached in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, just as we sang it. You may not know it, but when Michael Neal wrote that song, his great name, it's really from Acts 4, 12. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. So when we gather at this table in just a moment, and drink of the cup and eat of the bread. What did Jesus tell us to do? Do this in remembrance of me. Because apparently he knew people, even in churches, would forget him. And so we have this blessed event, this experience of communion, to remember again and again and again. As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, do it in remembrance of me. And so when you take the cup and the bread in just a moment, it is a holy moment in which the very presence of Christ fills your heart by his Spirit. So what is our purpose and priority and passion? It is the joy of exalting Jesus, lifting him up. Who said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all unto myself. That's number one. It's God's model, God's church. And just read the second chapter of Acts when Peter preached Christ on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God moved in and the church moved out with the proclamation of this message. In fact, let me just show it to you. He said in verse 36, let the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He is both Lord and Christ. And in all that we do, all that we say, it is all about him. He deserves all the praise. Secondly, in New Testament Christianity, in the church, we are to be steadfast in evangelizing the world. Evangelizing the world. Look at verses, let's just back up and look at verses 37 to 41 in this passage. It says, now when they heard this, what? They heard the message of Christ and the gospel, that he is both Lord and Christ. So when they heard this, and this was a great crowd gathered on a day, a festival of Pentecost. It was a celebration of the Jewish people, and people had come from all over the world, and now Christ is preached. Shortly after the resurrection, these believers, empowered by the Holy Spirit, are delivering this gospel, this good news. And when they heard this, what happened? They were cut to the heart. Amen. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now just stop right there, because here we have a portrait of how we evangelize the world. Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples. To make disciples. To bring people to Jesus. And so how are we to evangelize people? With a message of repentance and faith in Christ and Christ alone. And with that, when the Holy Spirit is at work in us, in his church, there is conviction. When they heard this, they were convicted of their sin. They were stabbed to the heart. It ran them through. Sometimes I wonder, in the modern church, where is the conviction? Where's the conviction over sin? We don't preach Christ and repentance and faith, so no one is convicted of their sin. But these people were convicted. And the only way to get people to Jesus is for the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus, to stab them in the heart with the sword of the Spirit. So there is the conviction by the Lord, and then there's conversion to the Lord. For when they said, what must we do? Peter said, repent. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. The word repentance means to change. Now, we can't change ourselves. I can't change myself. Only Christ can change us. But what we do is to bring ourselves to him and to his cross and to his blood, and by his power, he can change. He can make the foulest clean. He changed the human heart. And when we repent of our sin, which means to turn to him and trust in him, I could say, you know, it's repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin, if you will. You cannot repent without believing, and you cannot believe without repenting. So they repented of their sins, and they received Christ. He said, do this and receive the Holy Spirit. So salvation is not when you go to heaven. That's the byproduct of salvation. Salvation, eternal life, is when you receive the Spirit. You receive Christ in your life. You repent of your sin, and now you have a relationship with Christ. We are converted to the Lord by repenting and receiving Christ. The church is not a club to join or an organization to support. A church is a place for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting and receiving the Lord Jesus. And then he mentions in verse 38, and be baptized for the remission of sin. Baptism itself does not save. It doesn't even help to save. But baptism is our identity with Christ, just as spiritual baptism. As we are immersed in Christ, we are now physically baptized. You saw it by immersion as a believer in Christ. It's to identify with Christ and his church. And every believer, in obedience to our Lord's command, should be baptized. We are going to give a public invitation in just a few moments and invite people to come forward and openly trust in Jesus, repenting of sin and receiving Christ, others to join the church. I believe very strongly in the public invitation and drawing the net and bringing people in. But the open and obedient confession of Christ is not walking down an aisle. It is believer's baptism. And I'm not talking about a little water sprinkled over your head when you were a baby. That's not baptism. That's sprinkling. Baptism is immersion. That's what the very word means. To be immersed and to be submerged in water. Because baptism represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. There are two ordinances of the church, the Lord's Supper and baptism. As a baptized believer, you are welcome to the table of the Lord to receive communion at Prestonwood. But to be baptized, how can you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and not openly and obediently follow him in baptism? I'll just let that rest for a moment. Not be baptized and then believe, but to believe and be baptized. You want the world to know that you've been saved, that Jesus is the Lord of your life. When you are baptized, you're saying, I am forgiven, I'm changed. Christ is living in me. So there is conviction by the Lord, there's conversion to the Lord, and then there's the containment of the Lord. He said, receive the Spirit. Receive Christ into your life by trusting him as your Savior. And that is the mission of the people of Prestonwood and of all New Testament churches. It is to exalt Jesus. It is to evangelize the world. This is why we send people on mission. This is why we give. This is why we put up Easter signs in our yards and pass out invitations to Easter. Why? Because we want to advertise the church? No, we want to advertise Jesus. We want people to know Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of the mission and the ministry of this church to tell the world about Jesus. And then thirdly, not only are we to edify or evangelize the world and exalt Jesus, but we are to engage the church in ministry, in Christian maturity. That's why verse 41 says, they continued devotedly, the ESV says it, I actually like the King James word here better, steadfastly. I looked it up just in English, all the various synonyms of the word steadfast. Can you think of some? Faithful, devout, resolute, strong, standing. They continued because the responsibility of the church is not only to reach but to teach God's people. So we are teaching truth, the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching the Bible. They continued steadfastly in the teaching of the Word of God. And not only that, but enjoying fellowship, finding fellowship. So I would put it in two ways, teaching truth, why are we here? Teaching truth and finding fellowship in Christ. And that's such an incredible thing. How do we get people to know and to grow in their faith in Christ? Well, clearly we have worship services and we're committed to teaching the Bible and the proclamation of the word from our pulpit. Right now we're in the book of Romans and we're working our way through Romans. I felt as we were praying, as we were coming through the pandemic and with all the new members and new people who were joining us, you know, people were just pouring in. And many were joining and added to the church, and we do a good job of introducing the church to them through our Next Step program and other ways. But I wanted to preach Romans because I want to make sure that everybody who walked in here or walked down this aisle or even baptized, that you're getting it, the essential gospel and the truth of the Christian faith, the basic, essential, core truth of the Christian faith. It doesn't get much better than Romans. So we've been doing that. So you have the pulpit. But what we have at Prestonwood is our life groups, our life group Bible study, our small groups. And there are scores of these small groups for all ages, adults as well as students and children. It's our Bible teaching ministry. It's our small group strategy. And can I say, lovingly, respectfully, but strongly, you're missing a key component of Prestonwood if you are not engaged in a small group. There are many other kinds of small groups, smaller groups in the church, but I am advising you, I am counseling you, I am urging you to get in a small group, because if we learned anything during the past 2 years, we've learned that we really do need each other. You say, well, I don't need anybody. Yes, you do. God made us to live in relationships. And what we found here at Prestonwood, as we were opening and reopening over the months, that people couldn't wait to get back here. They couldn't wait to be back together. People want to be together. And so our teaching ministry is so very vital. You need relationship. You need a smaller group of people who don't sit with you in rows. This is great. But beyond that, not sitting in rows, but sitting in circles or sitting across a table and discipleship and developing the Christian life. And you want to be among a group of people who know your name, who care about you, who pray for you, who will visit you or call you or text you when you're hurting and you're sick, or hold you when someone in your family is dying. You need a group. You need a gathering of God's people. Because this is engaging the church. You need a group where you can serve and minister. While I'm speaking of a group and ministers and servants of the Lord, I look at these wonderful deacons here about to serve us the Lord's Supper, who visit and love and serve and pray, led by Clarence Williams, the chairman of our deacons, serving on both campuses, serving in Espanol. Our deacon body, thank you, men, so very, very much for your faithfulness to serve the Lord and to serve Prestonwood. This is the church. You know, our prayer always and our priority is to go and to grow and to reach as many people as possible. But it's also to stay small. To grow big and wide in reaching people, but to stay small. Sometimes people look at a church like Prestonwood, typically from the outside looking in, and they may say, that church is too big. I would never be a part of a church that big. Prestonwood is just too big. And people like to say, you know, Six Flags over Prestonwood and Preston World and all the rest. And so people say, how many, someone has told you Prestonwood's just too big. Hold up your hand, all right? And that's probably most all of us if we talk about the Lord in our church. But the fact is, now just be reasonable. Why do you think a big church is big? There's a reason for that. Because the presence of God and the contagion of the Spirit and the fellowship of this church draws people in. It's infectious. It's contagious. And typically what we see happening is people, for one reason or not, coming in and finding this fellowship and the winsomeness and the welcome of this place and the worship in this room and the Word of God, and they're just taken in. Be careful. If you walk in here, I promise you, it's dangerous. One of the challenges that we always face as a church is that we could become more program-centered than people-centered. We have many wonderful programs, but the program is never there for itself. The program is there for people. programs matter only because people matter. Our new members. I was just looking at some of the data on the new members. I get a stack of new members every week from across our campuses, and we have a nice photo. And one of the questions that is asked, how did you become acquainted, or who introduced you? How were you introduced to Prestonwood? And you find the typical answers. Interestingly enough, let's say there are, let's just say 10, still on a 1 to 10, so there would be 2 or 3 who just walked in here off the street, who passed by. I was actually surprised by this. And this goes for our North Campus as well as the Plano Campus. People drove by or passed by, or they saw it and came in. Maybe somewhat like you see a restaurant that's open and you say, let's try that. And interestingly enough, people, some who are Christians, some who are not Christians, they drive by here and wonder, what in the world is that? And then the Spirit of God is working in them. I told you earlier how many people are unsatisfied and unhappy right now, and they're looking for something. We know what they're looking for. And maybe people are driving by and saying, let's try that. We've tried everything else. Let's try Jesus. Let's try this church. So that's a couple of people. And out of our 10 that we're running this data, there's typically 2 or 3 people that come because of radio and television, PowerPoint ministry, or the online. You watched on television or online, you worship with us, and or heard a radio program and you came, and that's typical each week. But far and away, people walked in here and were welcomed here because of a family member or friend who encouraged them to come. Many of you are in this room today because someone invited you, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, someone who cared. Prestonwood is a place where everyone is welcomed, and our desire is to cross every political divide and every socioeconomic divide and every racial divide and bring everyone to Jesus, to his people, his church. Verse 47, look at it. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. I want to repeat something I said a couple of weeks ago. I said, we must first win them to ourselves and then turn them over to Jesus. They had favor with God and all the people. The favor of God was upon them, and they were favorable, warm, and welcoming, and winsome people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So those who are saved, come to the Lord's table today. Our deacons are going to pass the elements to you, and you will receive the cup and the bread at the same time. I would ask that you hold it till the end, and we will receive these elements all together. So, gentlemen, would you stand at this time, and let's bow together and pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, the power of the gospel. Lord, may Jesus always be exalted. May this church always stay on its mission, steadfast and resolute, faithful in the mission to take your message, take Jesus to the world, to our neighbors, to our nation and the nations. And then, Lord, that you would grow your church strong and vital and healthy and vibrant and true and faithful to you. And we come to this table, your table, Lord, with gratitude in our hearts because of your grace that welcomes us here. We know we do not deserve to be at this table. It's all because of Jesus. Because we have been forgiven and cleansed and changed. And because we have repented of our sins and received you, Lord, you invite us here. And so we come with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
This grateful heart ever be. describe all you've given to me. Exhausted and spent in response to what I don't deserve. Your grace, so marvelous, all sufficient and free, is more than enough to redeem and rescue me. You rescued me, oh God. Oh, let your sacrifice ever capture my thoughts. I can anchor lest I
The Bible tells us on that night that Christ was betrayed that he took the bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks. And then the cup, which is his blood for us. And in remembrance of him, because Jesus is all and everything to us. We remember him. I want Clarence Williams, Dr. Williams, if you would lead us in our prayers. We give thanks for the bread and the blood of our Savior. Doctor.
God's word says, as often as we do this, that we should do it in remembrance. And what is it that, Lord, you'd have us remember? You said, Lord, your death and your suffering. So, Lord, we know that this bread that we are brought to partake is more than what is just evident of holding in our hands. It represents your broken body, all that you endured before you made it to Calvary, the scourging that you endured, the crown of thorns, all because you loved us so much. And Lord, I pray, oh God, as we think about this wine that represents your shed blood, that it was to atone for our sins. Lord, let us never forget what it costs you that we get to experience life. Lord, we do it in remembrance of you. We do remember your shed blood. We do remember your suffering. But Lord, we anticipate that the story is not over. It is about your resurrection, and we serve a risen Savior. And it's none other than Jesus. We give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
So Jesus broke the bread. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. We exalt you, Lord Jesus, and praise you for all that you gave for us. And then the cup, red with the fruit of the vine. He said, this is my blood. It's the New Testament. It's the new promise that I've made to you, that by my blood and by my grace, you are changed, you are cleansed. In Jesus' name, take and drink. Now I want us to bow together and pray. Just remain seated. And I want us to pray for our church right now. And wherever you are online, perhaps you've been watching this, I hope you've taken time to pray and maybe even to gather your family and to worship together as a family. But right here, right now in this room, I want us to pray that we would seize and be steadfast with the opportunities that God is giving us in this generation. As I said at the top of the message, that I sense that God is doing something brand new and beautiful and bright right here before the darkest days of human history. So would you pray, every head bowed and every eye closed? I would ask you to pray for me, your pastor, and the pastors and ministers of this church. I would ask you to pray for your life group, Bible fellowship leaders, teachers. We have the responsibility of continuing us in the grace that we've been given in God's word and in the fellowship and in prayers. That you would pray for our deacons, pray for our church leaders, the spiritual leaders of our church, that we would be steadfast and true, faithful and true until Jesus comes. Pray that we would reach our community for Christ and beyond. Would you pray that we would be faithful to the mission? And would you accept your assignment, whether it's a simple thing of inviting someone to church or putting a sign in your yard or passing out a tract, a booklet, whatever it is, that you would be on mission with us. Clearly, we don't have to go somewhere across the seas to tell the story of Jesus. We could just walk across the street. So would you dedicate yourself to be devout in this before the Lord? Now would you pray for souls, for lives to be changed? Here and now, the because right now I want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus online or on site here in this room, I want to invite you to pray and receive Christ by simply saying, Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Savior, my Lord, my God. Thank you for loving me and dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again. And right now, I repent of my sins and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, say, Jesus, come into my life, change my heart, make me your child, give me the hope and the home of heaven now and forever. I'm going to ask you to come forward in just a moment when we stand and sing and openly, obediently follow Jesus. If you are trusting in Christ, we're going to ask that you make an appointment for your baptism, that you want to be baptized. Some of you are believers already, but you've not been baptized God's way, the Jesus way. So why don't you come today and make that decision and that declaration, and at a time of your choosing, we'll baptize you, but as soon as possible. Others need to join this church. You've been praying, you've been thinking, you've been talking, you've been attending. Now's the time to act. Will you pray that God would help you to join this mission? If you want to be a part of a church that is exalting the Savior and evangelizing the world and engaging the church in mission and in maturity, growing and fellowship of the church, if you want to be a part of this church, come and join us today.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.